Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the middle of a series, The Promise, God's Everlasting Covenant. Today we'll be looking at the Lord's covenant with Noah. You say, Derek, that's long ago and far away, but it has lessons for our lives today and blessings for our lives today if we are open to the immeasurable, unfailing love of God. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School and welcome to the team. Take a look around. We're still Gideon's band, the little band, because of the pandemic. And yet, God's been blessing, hasn't He, in amazing ways. And I'm excited about this series because it's not just about covenants, all the different covenants in the Bible. All of them have something in common, the amazing, unfailing love of God reaching out to us and our choice to respond with open hearts. We're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. And here's just a few emails we've received recently from Tennessee in the United States of America. Angel and Irma write and say, well, actually, Irma's writing. She says, my husband and I have been watching Hope Sabbath School for many years, and it has been an immense blessing to both of us. Your studies helped us to learn so many things from the Word of God and new songs. Well, Irma, you'll be able to sing in just a moment. We enjoy learning from the input of the team. At the end of our day on Fridays, we are eager to turn on our TV and to watch Hope Sabbath School. Thank you for all you do. Blessings. We look forward to many more Hope Sabbath Schools. Well, Irma, thanks for writing to us. We're glad you and your husband, Angel, are part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Here's someone, Peter. He's from Kenya, living in Arizona. That's a long way from home, isn't it? International family, Peter writes, thanks that you have humbled yourselves and allowed God to use you to reach millions around the globe with the saving message of His good news. I started watching Hope Sabbath School 10 years ago in my home country of Kenya. I live now in Arizona, and I have grown in faith in Christ because of Hope Sabbath School. Amen?
Amen.
May God bless you. Well, Peter, God bless you there in Arizona in the United States. And, you know, God's speaking to a lot of your brothers and sisters back in Kenya through Hope Channel Kenya. We're just so thankful that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Here's an old-fashioned note. People still write them and send them to us. This is from a donor in Texas in the United States. Who says, I've been watching Hope Sabbath School for years and take some ideas to my own class. I lost my dear spouse in 2019. She's now resting, waiting for Jesus to call her. Amen.
Amen.
We have sent a gift every month for a long time. I hope we can send it all at once if that's okay. And that's from a precious donor. And a gift of $1,200 for Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
Well, I not only want to say thank you to you as a donor and to all of our donors, but I want to say hold on for that blessed hope. You'll see your loved one again. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
There's a glorious day coming, and what a day that will be. Well, here's a note from Sarah, S-E-R-A, Sarah, all the way from Fiji. I am so thankful and blessed because of Hope Sabbath School, Sarah writes. I always download Hope Sabbath School every week to help me before attending Sabbath School at our community church here in Fiji. My prayer is that God will continue to bless each and every one of you, Hope Sabbath School members. Regards, all the way from Fiji. Well, doesn't it impress you? We've got Hope Sabbath School members all around the world.
Yeah.
And we're glad that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. Don't forget to write the country where you come from, because we'd love to read your email on an upcoming program. Here's one last email from Richard in Canada, Lillooet, Canada. And Richard writes and he says, just a note to let you know how encouraging it is to hear the emails from Hope Sabbath School members all around the world. Well, Richard, you're probably encouraged now because you've just been hearing from all around the world. He continues, my family and I have been watching Hope Sabbath School for over a decade.
Wow.
Well, that's 500 in-depth interactive studies of the Word of God. We are now part of a small church in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, having moved here a year and a half ago. Oh, and then it says, as part of our regular rostrum of teachers, I use the outlines so I can have an in-depth interactive study of the Word of God. Well, we're hearing, Richard, that lots of people are using the outlines. He concludes, many thanks to all who are making Hope Sabbath School possible. My prayer is that God will continue to bless all of us as we daily know the love of Jesus more and more. Amen?
Amen.
Richard, thanks for teaching the Word of God there in Canada. And thanks to each one of you for being part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Right now, we need your help. We're not allowed to sing here in the studio because of the pandemic restrictions. But our theme song is taken from Psalm 105, verses 1 to 5. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. That's our prayer today. Why don't you join us as we sing? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we want to call upon your name, just as it says in that beautiful scripture song. We want to call upon your name even now as we study about your covenant with Noah and what it means for all of us, even in this generation. May your Holy Spirit guide us in our study. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, as we study today, we're going to study about a sin pandemic. You say, Derek, I've heard of the health pandemic, and it's global, isn't it?
Yes.
But we're going to discover that the sin pandemic is also global, and it is also destroying lives. The question I want to ask from our study, God makes a perfect world, and it's very good, and we know about Satan's challenge recorded in Genesis chapter 3. But why is the degeneration from good to totally evil so rapid? Well, let's look at some texts and then see if we can answer the question. Genesis chapter 6. And Sabina, if you could begin our study today by reading Genesis 6, verse 5 and verses 11 and 12.
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And Genesis 6, 5 says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then verses 11 and 12, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth.
So how did it get that bad so quickly? Well, Genesis 1:31 says God created and it was very good.
Yeah.
What happens in Genesis 3?
Sin, the great fall.
Huh? The serpent, right? Mm-hmm. Satan comes, deception. Oh, you'll be like God if you sin. But how rapidly that degeneration occurs. What's the first sign of the damaging effects of sin? Mm-hmm. Anyone?
Cain murdering his brother.
Maybe even before Cain, but hold on to Cain.
They were naked. They were naked.
Mm. They sensed that they were naked. They were exposed.
They had to kill the little lamb.
Before that.
They hid themselves.
They hid themselves. And then what did they start doing?
They took leaves.
Blaming each other.
That's right. We have become experts at that down through the centuries, right? Yeah. Well, it was that woman's fault. Well, it was that snake's fault. So, but then, Christian, tragically, chapter 4, what happens in Genesis 4?
Yeah, sadly, a brother kills his own brother. Cain kills Abel.
And in a very real way, Adam and Eve lose both of their sons.
Yeah.
Wow.
One dies and the other's banished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it seems very startling to get to the place that Sabina just read, that the earth is just totally corrupt. How does it happen so quickly, Christian?
Well, as we read just now in Genesis 6:5, I think there's a key phrase there, a key thought towards the end of the verse. And it says that the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Uh-huh.
Continually. I think that's a key word.
Right.
And then when you read it, when you read the other part of the passage where it says, and the earth was filled with violence. So if you think about those two things, continually and filled. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have like a faucet running continually, eventually the sink is going to fill and overflow.
Sure.
Okay. My point is I believe that unconsecrated carnal sinful nature, okay, can actually grow increasingly wicked and evil. Just as much as we can grow in Christ, we can grow in sin.
Have you ever heard someone say, and I see a couple of hands raised, I never thought I would do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sabina?
And also, Pastor Derek, I'm thinking that usually if you engage with something that is evil, usually you need to continually engage with evil to cover up for the things that you have done evil. Say that, I don't know, if you lie, you need to continually lie so that people will not find out your lie. If you kill if you steal, you need to hide it, and you need to continually steal, maybe even to kind of maintain yourself in your life. So I can only imagine that the situation, once they step away from God, it can only be worse and worse instead of progressing anywhere. It can.
I'm going to come to Travis and Gladys, but Christian, I appreciated your insight. Just as we can grow in our relationship with God, we can grow in evil. We can degenerate. Yeah. The thought that challenges me is how rapidly that could happen. Travis?
So in verse 12, it says, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And by implication, it's saying they had made a series of bad choices. Mm-hmm. Choice after choice after choice after choice after choice after choice. And as I'm thinking about this, it's like we're in Genesis chapter 6, but there's millions of people on the earth. So in a time frame, it's actually quite a long time. You know, I mean, it takes a long time to get millions of people from two people. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it is a long length of time, but the earth is definitely corrupt.
But it didn't take Cain long to kill Abel.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, it's startling when we separate from God how drastic that decline can be. Gladys?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, that the only thing that keeps us from making things like you said, oh, I never thought I would do that, is the fear of God in our hearts. That we said, oh, I'm not going to do that because you have God. So once you remove that from your mind, then you're in total darkness. So you're in control. The enemy takes control of your mind.
And I want to take that old English word, fear of God, and put reverence or even better, love for God, right, is what holds us. But startling how quickly the degeneration can happen. You know, there's a psalm, a scripture song. I like to sing those. Psalm 1 that actually describes that rapid degeneration. And Gladys, maybe you could read that for us. Psalm 1, it's only 6 verses long. But if you listen carefully, you'll hear a progression that's happening there, especially when we're talking about moving away from God.
Okay, I'm reading from the New International Version, Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
Mm. Now, a simple lesson would be choose the way of the godly, because that's the way of life. Mm-hmm. Don't choose the way of the wicked. That's mm-hmm. the way of death. But yeah. did you notice a sequence mm-hmm. there? Mm-hmm. What did you see, Jason?
Well, first, there's kind of a process. There's walking in bad counsel. So first, there's bad counsel, and then there's walking in it, then standing, then sitting, and then it even goes to, then at a certain point, you're just kind of blown away, like chaff it describes. Mm. So it's little by little, but it happens rapidly.
Mm. Oh, I'd never sit in the seat of scornful, the scornful, you might say. You're just kind of walking in the way of the ungodly. Mm. And before long, you're standing in the, in the what?
Standing in the way of sinners.
Way of sinners. And before long, you're
sitting
in the seat of scoffers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That sequence, one poor choice after another. Mm. Well, the world, as Travis pointed out, we're not talking about a few weeks or months here, but millennia, right? We're talking hundreds of years that have passed, millennia have passed. We're here now at the time of the flood. And I don't know if someone could give me a date on that, but it's a long time after creation, that we know. There's one person that stands out, kind of a counter-cultural figure in all of this corruption. And what was his name?
Noah.
You know, in our previous study, Jason, you gave us the broad overview, but we're going to focus in this study on Noah and see what lessons we can learn for our lives today. Let's hear some things about Noah. Christian, if you could read Genesis 6 and verse 9 for us.
Okay. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Genesis 6, 9 says, "This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God." And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Does that expression, Noah walked with God, remind you of anybody else?
Yeah, Enoch.
Enoch, right? Mm-hmm. Enoch walked with God and
God took him.
Yeah. He's one of the few, in fact, I only know of two, one Enoch and the other Elijah, who was caught up in a chariot of fire, remember? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But there's that same expression that Noah walked with God. Mm-hmm. And what else did it call him? How did it describe him there?
Mm-hmm. Righteous.
Perfect?
Imperfect.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Blameless.
Right? Blameless? Mm-hmm. How is that possible in the midst of such corruption?
Mm. It's because he was walking with God.
you know, that sounds so simple, but that's exactly what Psalm 1 is saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're walking in the way of sinners and standing with the scoffers and sitting or whatever they were and sitting, you're going to become like those people.
Yes.
Christian.
And I'm sure we'll look into this a little bit more closely a little later, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So why was he righteous? Why was he a just man? Because of God's grace.
Mm-hmm. And yet God wanted to show his grace to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Noah chose to walk with God and
he chose to walk with God. Mm-hmm. Verse 8 of chapter 6, same chapter which talks about this just man who walked with God. Mm-hmm. What does that say, Travis? Genesis 6 and verse 8.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Anybody? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to find grace, Jason? In the eyes of the Lord.
So it could mean mercy or favor or somehow Noah was in such a way he made himself available to God that God was able to use him, and God was able to see, here's someone who wants to enter in relationship with me. And it's interesting, too, because if you look at Noah's family, Noah doesn't exactly come from the best family either. So there's something about Noah that's distinct. He's living a very different example than some of the people before him.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You've read your Bible, maybe all of it, at least much of it. How many people does the Lord want to find grace in his eyes?
All.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
He loved all people. I can think of John 3:16.
Yes, exactly. God so loved
the world.
The world. Yeah. That he gave his only begotten son, that one.
Whosoever.
Yeah. He wants him. And isn't there a text that he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, Christian?
You know, now Jesus did say, ask and it shall be given, seek and you will find.
Right.
You know, so I'm trying to take that concept and plug it into this one. You know, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Could it be that one finds grace? Well, because they're seeking for it. Mm-hmm. You know, those who don't seek God's grace will not find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Mm. Could that be said?
Now that almost goes to our next question. What is necessary in order to find grace? Yeah. If God wants to show his grace to everyone, mm-hmm. you're saying, I've got to seek if I'm going to find.
Exactly. We understand that this grace is available to all. Mm-hmm. So if you're only available to this grace, it will be there. So I just see as what is necessary for you to be available for God to, you know, bless you with his grace.
You know, I've said, just show up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even if I'm running from his grace or hiding, can you think of someone who ran or hid from his grace?
Jonah.
Jonah's one.
Adam and Eve. Yeah.
Adam and Eve.
Elijah.
And what does God do?
Go after them.
He pursues them all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes,
because even as you were talking, I think it's, we need to maybe to find his grace, to see it. We need to be looking for it, but even if you're not looking for it, God's grace will be available for you. Mm-hmm. Even if you're trying to hide from it or run away from it, he's offering that grace. But in the case of Noah, he was able to find it as you were talking here, because he was probably, as he walked with God, he perceived that God was in that type of generation, willing to have a closer relationship with those who were open to that.
So let's talk about today, all right? Mm-hmm. I remember a young man came to me. He was still in elementary school. He said to me, Pastor, it is hard to follow Jesus in the city. It is hard to follow Jesus in the city. So my question would be, someone says to you, I'm having a hard time finding God where I live. Mm. You know, you said we got to seek him, right? But it seems like it was just wickedness all around. Mm. Mm-hmm. What would you say to her? What would you say to him? Travis?
Well, first I would say, if it's possible for them to remove themselves, that would be the first counsel I'd give. But if not, I would remind them of Joseph and Daniel.
Okay.
Who were able to find grace even amid people trying to push their agendas upon them. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if it's a young lad, he's probably not able to just leave, right? Mm-hmm. He's got a family that lives in the city. But you're saying for some, didn't we have a previous study where with Abraham? And someone pointed out, sometimes God takes us out of the city where we live because he needs to teach us a whole new way of life. Mm-hmm. Jason?
So Noah kind of had this situation himself because Noah's family, his father had multiple wives. Noah's father was even compared to Cain in a very extreme way. And so Noah grew up himself around a lot of violence and wickedness. And yet Noah chose to take one wife. Noah chose to be faithful to God. Mm-hmm. And so you can make choices even in the midst of bad situations that can set your heart for God.
Yeah. Sabina?
And I can think again of Psalm 1 when, you know, David is encouraging us to meditate in the Word of God, in the law of God. So whatever is happening around you, if you're meditating the Word of God, if you're seeking truth in His Word, certainly you are going to find light and hope for whatever circumstance you are in.
So I'm hearing you say that we are never in a hopeless situation.
No. Yes. Never.
But we choose where we focus our attention. Christian.
Yes. You know, in light of the fact that it says that Noah walked with God, I'd like to add a scriptural reference to
yes,
the study.
Please.
Can I do that?
Yes.
Amos chapter 3, verse 3.
All right.
Chapter 3, verse 3. Again, in the light of the fact that Noah walked with God. Amos 3, 3, and I'll be reading from the New King James
Version. That's a little book that's kind of hard to find. Amos was a prophet, right? A shepherd prophet. But I think we found it here. Amos 3 and verse 3. What does it say in your Bible?
All right. And Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, it's a question. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Mm. And so Noah walked with God. And I think that part of the experience of finding grace or even experiencing grace is that I have to agree with God that I'm in need of grace.
Mm, okay.
You follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And unless I agree with God that I need His grace, I may not experience it or find it.
And also, if the Lord's walking, I have to choose to walk with Him.
With Him,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Otherwise, we'll be going in two separate directions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to pause before we see how God comes to Noah now. Mm. But I'd like you to think of a time when you say, I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you think of a time you say, and maybe it's not that God decided to show grace to you. He's been wanting to show grace to you all along, but you just noticed His grace being abundantly revealed to you. Sabina, I see your head nodding.
Yeah,
you think of a specific situation?
Yeah, I think that one event in my life in which I realized that it was on my baptism. So I had been seeking for God before that, and I had that encounter with Jesus. And I think that at the moment that I was being baptized, it just kind of overwhelmed me, the sensation that, yeah, God had heard me. He had found me. I had found Him, and finally I was being baptized. So it was an event that maybe for some people it may be just ordinary, but for me it was really like an experience with God's grace, and I will never forget it. And it was wonderful. Mm. Yeah.
The Bible talks about being baptized for the washing away of your sins.
Mm-hmm.
It could just be a ritual, or it could be a life-changing experience of God's grace, right? Gladys?
You know, sometimes when you have been in the church for a long time, you just follow like a routine. Mm-hmm. So for New Year's, I said, Lord, I want to renew my vows with You, but I want You to show me how You want me to do things differently. And I got an invitation to become part of a women's Bible study. Mm. And I was like, I haven't done that in a while. And just the way that it happened, I just saw like God was pursuing me, like, oh, you want to renew your vows? This is how I want you to renew your vows with me. And it has been such an amazing experience to just go back to like treat the Bible like I had never read it before and just read it again with a group of women that come from all walks of life. And it's just amazing experience to see God's grace through just a small invitation. Okay, come and have fellowship with me.
Beautiful. We're going to get emails from you, ladies all around the world, saying, can I join Gladys in Bible study? And the answer is, start one of your own. Right?
Yeah.
My wife just started a Bible study with Stephanie, who's one of our Hope Sabbath School team members. Yeah. Travis, you just started a men's Bible study, right? Well, no, yours is for anyone, right? But you started it. So, you know, I would say, now, don't wait to join Gladys's Bible study or Travis's. Start a Bible study right where you are. Mm-hmm. And as I spend time with God, I become more aware of His grace, right?
Yes.
I find the grace that's already there if my eyes are open. Well, to this man, Noah, I think we've got a little more about him, living in a world of darkness, and yet he's chosen to walk with God. Mm-hmm. God comes to him to make a covenant with him. Genesis 6, verse 18. Jason, if you could read that verse for us.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark. You, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you.
So, it doesn't really tell us what the covenant is. What is the covenant? Oh, you have to read the context there, mm-hmm. I suppose. What's God offering to him? God's telling him to do something.
Safety.
What's he offering him?
Salvation.
That's right. Okay. He's offering him salvation. Mm-hmm. And is there a condition?
Go.
Well,
build the ark.
Build the ark, right? Yeah. Now you might say, mm-hmm. Well, so he's saved by building the ark. No, because God's the one who enables him to build the ark,
obedience.
Right?
Yeah.
But he's just saying,
I'm available.
Exactly.
Yes.
God, I want to
work with you.
Walk with you.
I want to walk with you and even work with you, right?
Yes.
You know, as I do this work, I'm walking with you even while I'm building this boat, mm-hmm. Preparing for a flood that I've never seen,
mm-hmm. yes.
right? Walking by faith, mm-hmm. he builds that. Mm-hmm. So here's my question. By the way, Noah does it. And how many get into the ark?
Eight total.
Seven plus him, right?
Oh, yeah, seven plus him.
That's devastating, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Only seven. Well, you say, well, a lot of animals got in, too. Mm-hmm. So if God's grace, we're talking about God's everlasting covenant. Mm-hmm. And by the way, every covenant he makes, really, they're all the same. Really, they are. Mm-hmm. God says, I love you with an everlasting love. Mm-hmm. I want to save you. Yeah. And we respond in loving obedience. Mm-hmm. Really.
Yeah.
Okay. So why do so few people accept that grace, Christian? Mm-hmm. If he wants whosoever will, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. to believe and be saved. Why do so few people accept that grace?
You know, there's faith on one hand, and then there's unbelief. I think unbelief is definitely a part of that, you know, it's a factor in why so many people don't receive grace. There's mm-hmm. unbelief, and unbelief leads to a hardness of heart. It hardens our heart. You know, that phrase is often used, you know, throughout the New Testament. Our hearts are hardened, and unbelief just locks us up. And it keeps us from actually receiving the grace that is so available to us.
Mm-hmm. Anybody want to add to that, Gladys?
I think that sometimes, you know, we are afraid of the crowd, to stand up aside from the crowd. I really believe that there were so many people that probably helped Noah build the ark. Maybe they heard him preach for 120 years, just preach, and while they were building the ark. And maybe in their hearts, they felt like, maybe I should believe it. But when they will hear the others mocking, the others laughing at him and thinking that he was crazy, mm-hmm. I think that sometimes that plays a big part in people not wanting to make a decision mm-hmm. because they don't want to stand out. They want to blend in. Mm-hmm. And that mentality sometimes just brings a lot of bad decisions.
Yeah. So we've got a couple of things that may hinder us. The peer pressure, spirit of unbelief. Yeah. Sabina and then Travis.
I'm thinking also of their worldview. I imagine that they probably were already given to other gods and ideas about how is it that a god must be served or can save someone. And I can imagine that for some people, the idea of just accepting through faith a gift by a creator god was something that was illogic or unreachable, untenable to them, because they were probably used to offer things to gods and do things or work for gods instead of having a God that loves them. So I can't imagine that some of them just thought this cannot be like a true God or.
And yet, I think you're right. And yet, back to Noah's day, they heard him preach for 120
years.
If that's the time frame that he's building mm-hmm. the ark. They heard the testimony all along, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. they were without excuse.
Mm-hmm.
They chose not to believe, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They chose. Travis?
I think of the verse in John that says that light came, this is the condemnation, that light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than light.
Where's that found? Do you remember?
Is it John 10 or John 8?
No, you're in the right book. Did you turn to John 3?
Yeah, John 3, okay.
Yeah, it's right after the text that Sabina quoted in John 3:16. Yeah. Okay. If you could read for us, why don't you start in verse 16 of John 3 and read down through the verse you're quoting in verse 19. Mm-hmm. Because I think you're onto something important. Spirit of unbelief, peer pressure, you know, can influence us, but also loving darkness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How does it read? John 3, beginning with verse 16 through 19.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Mm-hmm. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten of the Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some people love darkness, so help me out now. A friend comes to you and says, I'm involved in things of darkness, but I love doing it. Mm-hmm. How would God respond to someone like that? Mm-hmm. I'm involved in things of darkness, but I love doing it. I don't want to leave it. Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, we know he wouldn't just abandon them, right? Mm-hmm. Because he's not willing for any to perish. How would God respond to someone like that, Sabina?
I think that God, and as we see throughout the Word of God, he would send messengers to alert this person.
Okay.
Would provide for divine encounters, would provide for the Word to reach out to this person in some way so that they will have the opportunity to repent. And I think that's one of the things that God insistently do even with us, up to now.
That's what he did with Noah, right?
Yeah.
We had a situation in a group that I was in recently where someone asked for prayer because they were courting a non-Christian.
Yeah.
And someone in our group, you could see the expression of pain on the person's face because that person knew what it was like to be in a committed relationship with an unbeliever. You could see the pain on the person's face. Mm-hmm. You're telling me that in love, God might send a witness to that young man, that young woman, that older person who says, I'm doing things of darkness, but I enjoy doing them. Mm-hmm. God might send a prophet or at least a follower of Jesus to say, let me testify what that did to my life and how Jesus rescued me, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we are going in my family through a situation like that. One of our family members is doing things that are not supposed to be doing, and she knows that it's not. But every time we talk to her, she says, I enjoy doing it, and this is what I want.
So you're saying this isn't just theoretical?
No, it's not.
This can be real?
Yes. Yeah, so our family got together, and we just pray about it to see how we're going to handle it. Mm. And just like Sabina said, what we're trying to do is show God's love to her, not abandon her and say, you know, oh, you are just, you know, doing evil things and you know better. No, but sending her messages and pointing her out, like whenever she calls out and reaches out, oh, this happened to me, we point it out back to God and say, see, God is showing you mercy. Mm-hmm. God did that. God saw that. Mm-hmm. Always pointing her back to how God is chasing after her.
Yeah. And the immeasurable, unfailing love of God, right?
Yes. And I think that God uses people, like Sabina said, but also, you know, when you really love that soul that God died for, you will find a way to reach out in a loving way to show them the love of God.
Mm-hmm. Travis, where would you be if God had abandoned you when you were involved in deeds of darkness?
It would be worse now than where I was before, for sure. because that's the path it was going down.
So who did God use? We may not know this story, but we're hearing that God may send a prophet, a witness. Can we say a witness to alert you?
Yeah.
Did God do that for you?
It was a series of circumstances, you know, on this downward trend that led me to think, I'm hurting other people, namely my children and, you know, people around me. And I thought, something's got to be better than this because I'm not finding, not fulfillment in this. Mm-hmm. And then I started going back to church, and it was actually like a group of church members, you know. One of the ladies' name was Sherry, and a few of the other ones. They all got together.
I hope some of them are listening today.
And they raised some money and put me on a plane to South America to help build a building and a mission field, and that was the start of, because then when I come back, they said, you got to come tell us about it. Well, I was, you know, drinking and smoking or whatever at the time, and it was the start of something different.
Mm. Isn't God creative?
Yes.
Yeah, he meets us where we are, doesn't he, Sabina?
And I can think also of him actually making available the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because if we are not giving ears maybe to a friend or to a family member, we can also hear his voice in our heart, in our mind. And I believe that many people that find themselves in this position, they will have encounters with the Holy Spirit in which they will have to choose for life or death.
Yes.
But God will make himself present and speak to them through the word of God or maybe, you know, through a thought. Who knows? Mm-hmm.
So the Lord God comes to Noah in a dark time of Earth's history. Mm-hmm. And he extends a covenant relationship to him. Mm-hmm. And Noah responds how?
Obedience.
He goes.
I'm open. Yeah. I'm here.
That's it. Yeah.
Right? And he shows that openness by... doing what?
Building the ark.
Building the ark, right?
Yes.
He's not earning the covenant by building the ark, right?
No, no.
He's showing his openness to the grace of God by building the ark. Mm. And how does God show his faithfulness to that covenant?
Saving him.
You can read the book, right? Yeah. Genesis 6, 7.
Yeah.
By saving him.
The ark survives that horrendous flood.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When the fountains of the deep break loose. I mean, it sounds like the world's falling apart.
Yes.
Now, without God's protection, I think that boat would have fallen apart too, right?
Yes. So, yeah.
But God shows his faithfulness to Noah and to his family who get into the ark. Travis?
I would also like to point out that the Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness.
Yes.
So Noah wasn't just concerned with the family. He was also concerned about those around him. He was being obedient more than just getting into the ark. Mm. He was testifying of the love of God to all those who are around before the building and during the building of the ark.
Mm. Yeah, I'm reading there. He's in the Hebrews 11, isn't
right.
he? In the great hall of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So after this great deliverance of his family, though, there's another covenant. We're studying about covenants in this series. And that covenant isn't just with Noah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look in Genesis chapter 9. And let's look at verses 8 through 17. Could you read that for us, Gladys? Genesis 9, verses 8 through 17.
I'm reading from the New International Version. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, and those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth."
How many times did the Lord say covenant there? You don't have to count. It was a lot, wasn't it?
It was a lot.
Yes.
What does God promise in that covenant?
Mm-hmm. Never to destroy the earth with a flood.
Right. By the way, Peter says that's true, but there will come a day when the earth will be destroyed
by fire.
By fire, right? Mm-hmm. What manner of persons ought we to be, right?
Yeah. Yes.
When we think about that final judgment, he refers back to the promise regarding the rainbow and the promise of not destroying by a flood. Mm-hmm. What is the response required from the people of the earth in this covenant?
That they believe.
They believe.
Is it anything?
No, there is none. He's just not going to do it.
He's not going to.
This one, he basically says, "This is it. You don't have to believe, and it's not conditional on whether you believe or not.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it make any difference whether we believe or not?
No.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Christian, you're saying, it does. It's not going to affect the promise.
The promise, yeah.
But what difference does it make if we believe?
Well, we're going to be ultimately saved. The thing is that the thought that came to mind were the people of the Tower of Babel. You see, they chose not to believe this unconditional promise, right? They built the tower believing that, for one of many reasons, that if a flood did come, you know, they would save themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, so they chose, this generation, you know, chose not to believe this promise that God had given, you know, to Noah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Gladys is right. It doesn't change the outcome, but I think it does change me.
Yeah. Yes.
Because an unbeliever looks at a rainbow and says, "That's beautiful."
Yeah.
A believer looks at a rainbow and says, "What?
That's wonderful."
That's wonderful. That's God's promise.
God's promise.
Right?
Yeah.
The one who created the heavens and the earth created this reminder, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Reminder for us. So I see it differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just as, for example, you might walk past and see a cross, and one person just sees an X, and you see the love of God revealed in the person of Jesus, right?
Yes.
So the way that I think about that will affect how it impacts me.
Yes. Yeah. I think that it gives a different impact when you have been through a hurricane or a typhoon. Mm. When you have been through darkness, complete darkness, and extreme rain, and you think for days and days happening, then you say, "Is this ever going to stop?" As a believer, like you said, when you see the rainbow, it's a sign of hope and comfort. But if you don't believe, you know, just like, okay, that thing, you know, it's there.
And it's not just hope and comfort for that moment.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. It's hope and comfort for the future. Christian?
You know, and God's grace shines upon, you know, the righteous and the unrighteous, the believers and the unbelievers. Mm-hmm. You know, and God's grace is abundant. I mean, there's no question about that. But there is a verse that, if you don't mind, I'd like to share.
Sure.
That I think fits into this discussion. It's found in Isaiah chapter 55.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Verses 6 and 7.
I think we've sung that scripture song before, haven't we? Isaiah 55.
Isaiah 55, 6 and 7.
And certainly this would have been an appropriate appeal during the time of Noah. Mm-hmm. But it's also an appropriate appeal today, right?
It is, because it contains both a promise, a couple of promises, and a warning as well.
Why don't you read that for us from your Bible?
So in verse 6, I'm reading from the New King James, Isaiah 55, verse 6. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Mm-hmm. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon." So there's promises there. The promises are, he may be found. That's a promise. Mm-hmm. And he is near. That's a promise. But there's that one little word, right? While.
While there's still time, right?
While there's still time. Mm-hmm. And going back to what you were saying earlier, you know, it's like, of course, God longs. He comes after us. He looks for us. He chases us, so to speak. But if we keep refusing His grace, God loves us so much that there will come a time that He will have to put an end to our suffering and our misery with a final act of judgment that will be a strange act for God.
You know,
but it will come to pass.
I'm thinking of Gladys, something you said earlier. There may have been some day laborers who helped build that ark. And there may have been some days that they really came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, as Sabina mentioned, that they needed to repent and enter into this covenant promise. But if you don't act upon that while he may be found, right?
Yeah.
You can kind of, you get calloused, hardened, and that which brought such conviction to you, it just doesn't bother you anymore.
And then there will come a time where it will be too late. It will
certainly
be too late to change your ways.
The ark and the door closing
be too late.
Illustrates that, doesn't it, Gladys?
Yeah, my father illustrates it this way. You know, sometimes when you're in the kitchen and you're burning something, the fire alarm comes up. And what is the first thing that some people do? Take the alarm down.
Take the battery out.
Take the battery
not
out.
The good thing to do, right?
Take it out. And sometimes with God, we do the same thing. God is giving us the warning, talking to our hearts.
Yes.
And what we do, we just lower the volume, shut it down, and comes to a time that you just don't hear it anymore.
Yes.
It's just, you become just deaf to it.
Wow. Now, there's a very important element in the last part of our study. A remnant does survive.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Why? Because they obey God or because of God's grace?
Both.
It is both, isn't it? They're not saved by building the ark. They're saved by God, but they respond by doing what he asks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's take a look in Genesis chapter 7. Mm-hmm. And Jason, could you read for us verses 17 through 23?
The New King James Version, Genesis chapter 7, verses 17 through 23. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and all the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the earth, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive.
They were the remnant. Now, I want you to go to chapter 9. Sabina, if you could read verse 1.
Yes.
What sounds familiar in chapter 9 and verse 1? This is the instruction given to the remnant who have survived the flood. What does the Bible say?
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth."
Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
Where have you heard those words before?
In Genesis.
Creation. Right?
Yeah.
It's a new beginning, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I have a question for you. Is that all they were asked to do? Well, you said it's all I read here. Did they have any other testimony to give besides to go and replenish the earth? Travis, what do you think?
Well, God would have used them to be able, the covenant blessing was to extend through the earth, and eventually that became Abraham and then Jesus. So they were to be a blessing on the earth, not only multiply it, but to tell of the story of salvation.
They had a testimony, didn't they?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Extend God's grace to their generations.
Yes. That they believed God. And that they were saved.
Yes. True.
I want someone to go to Isaiah chapter 43. Christian, you just read from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's got some amazing insights, but Isaiah 43, verses 10 to 12, if you have that and could find it for us. I think we're absolutely right here. It's not just repopulate the earth, but tell what God has done, right?
Yeah.
His grace. Tell about his grace, not just for them, but for all mankind. Christian, how does that read? The prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, 10 to 12.
All right, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Verse 10, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God."
So now see the parallel. We wrap up our study. Just like Noah was before the last great judgment on the earth, so there is a remnant at the end of time. And what is our mission?
To share the gospel with the world.
It is to share about a God who wants everyone to be saved and to be open to receive his grace. You are my witnesses, says the Lord. Because how many does he want in his eternal kingdom?
Everybody.
As many who will accept his unfailing love. Oh, my friends, time is short. We don't know how much time. Finally, the door of the ark closes, and then it's too late. That's why the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You don't need to run from him, my friend. You need to run to him. We all need to run to him. And he'll welcome us with outstretched arms of love. He wants us to be with him in his eternal kingdom. Let's make a commitment to let him save us even today. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, such parallels between the day of Noah and our day. And I pray while there is still time, someone listening to my voice today will say, Lord God, will you save me? Will you rescue me? And I will declare your praises in this world. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. We're looking at the covenants, but they all have something in common. A God with immeasurable, unfailing love wants to save us to be with him forever. Accept his grace today, and then go out and be a blessing to those around you.